Chapter 3 Seeds. Danindo Erden rolled out from under the swirling cloud of conjured wretchedness, his vision blurry, eyes burning, throat thick with bile and mucus. He realized immediately as he executed his second roll, putting him clear of the conjured cloud, and started to stand that he had chosen the wrong exit angle. Magical webbing grabbed at him as he began to rise, clinging and holding fast. Now Thane had thrown this secondary armor to the left of the cloud, while Danine had expected it on the right. He tried to pull free, half-turned and slashed with his drow blades, except these were blunted practice swords and not the fine-edged magical weapons the drow warrior usually carried. Danine turned to face his adversary and tugged hard against the stubborn webs, and indeed, he felt as if he was making progress and expected to break free. Not in time, he realized, as Nalthane's waggling fingers completed the next spell, a bolt of lightning leaping out to slam against poor Danine, throwing him backward. The webs behind him burned in the blast, so he wasn't trapped at least. But he was surely stung by the lightning bolt, and he tried to keep his muscles behaving and following his commands, but they, some of them at least, seemed to have developed minds of their own. His legs trembled, and a step forward became a slide to the side, and poor Danine was down on the ground again, gyrating uncontrollably for a few moments, doing all he could to simply hold on to his twin swords. He gradually regained control, tasting blood in his mouth from the damage caused by chattering teeth, and threw himself to his feet. And there stood Nalthane, his next spell ready to launch. "Yield," Zacnaphane ordered from the side. "The battle is ended." Nalthane flashed that awful grin, one that bit into the heart of the proud Danine. He hadn't wanted this fight, but had been goaded here by his most powerful Doerden sister, Breeza. She had taunted him to the point where any refusal on his part would have been more embarrassing even than his defeat.
"So we have a winner," said Zacnaphane.
And Nalthane crossed his arms over his chest in a gesture of condescension and superiority.
"This time," Zacnaphane added. "And I will add, by the flip of a coin."
Nalthane's grin became a frown. "I struck him 3 times before he got near to me. Had him choking and caught and helpless, and the last strike, the lightning bolt, could have been fatal had this been a true fight and not a sparring match."
"You guessed correctly on the location of the web," said Zacnaphane. "Had Danine come out the other side of your magical cloud of stench..."
"He still would have faced the lightning," Nalthane argued.
"Unhindered by the web, though, and so he might have avoided its bite. And where would Nalthane then be?"
"If you think all of my tricks had played out, Weapon Master, then you are mistaken." Zacnaphane shrugged and let it go, but Danine did not.
"It is a ridiculous challenge in the first place," he argued. "A wizard strikes from range, a fighter up close. How can a fighter succeed when the wizard knows the battlefield and can strike from afar?" "You chose to accept the match," Zacnaphane reminded him. "It was not one I arranged, nor one I advised you to take."
"My brother is correct," Nalthane said. "In a fair fight, a mere warrior has no chance against a wizard." As soon as the words left his mouth, the timbre of the very air seemed to change. Nalthane bit off the last word, and Danine fell perfectly silent, his eyes going wide as he looked from Zacnaphane to Nalthane. For many heartbeats, Zacnaphane just smiled. Then he waved Danine off to the side, walked to the weapon rack across from Nalthane, and took up a pair of swords, waving them easily to test their balance.
"What is this?" Nalthane demanded.
"It is a challenge for you to back up your last proclamation, of course."
"I have already used my spells."
"You are a noble son of a powerful family, a graduate of Sorcerer, and one also trained in the arts martial. You have plenty of spells left, of course."
I do not wish another challenge this day."
"But you have found one, Nalthane. For now I am curious. I am a mere warrior, after all, and you a wizard. If your assertion proves correct, perhaps I will toss aside my swords and go study in Sorcerer."
At the side of the room, near the dissipating web and stinking cloud, Danine snickered.
"Are you ready?"
Zacnaphane asked.
"No," said Nalthane.
"Yes," said Zacnaphane. "Prepare. You may strike first." Now Thane glanced all around, then closed his eyes only briefly, obviously formulating a series of spells to reign over this more formidable enemy. He exploded into motion, arms waving, chanting his arcane words. Zacnaphane, true to his word, didn't move, standing easily some 40 feet away. A pea of flame appeared in Nalfane's hand. He threw it across the room, then immediately launched into a second spell. Deneen gasped in shock. A fireball! In a room in House Dalwerden, Nalfane had thrown a fireball. Zacnaphane leaped up and back, spinning as he rose, incredibly so, for he called upon his innate drow powers and his house emblem to enact a levitation spell as he lifted from the floor. He was up more than a dozen feet when the pea of fire dropped and exploded into a magnificent fireball, and when the roiling flames had cleared, there was Zacnaphane, tucked up into the top corner where the curving wall of the arena joined with the ceiling, his magical Powafwi cloak tight about him. Perhaps the flames had reached him and bit at him, but if so, he hardly appeared injured as he unwound and turned, planting his feet against that corner, his magical levitation still enacted. He kicked off, gliding down and away from the wall toward Nalfane, and he reached into his drow powers once more, the magic of the race granted by the emanations of the Phaesrus, and planted a globe of darkness on the floor before Nalfane. Deneen gasped again when Zack's levitation expired, when he dropped with perfect angle and tucked to land in a roll, one that sent him spinning back to his feet with such force that when he leaped away, such a great leap it proved to be, launching him right over the 10-foot darkness globe. A lightning bolt cut through the heart of that globe beneath him harmlessly, and now the skilled Zacnaphane landed with grace once more at the far edge of the darkness globe, rolling to his feet and rushing forward with stunning speed and precision. Nalfane slashed his own practice sword across to slow the weapon master and lifted his hand, his fingers arcing with lightning energy. But that electrical slap got nowhere near Zacnaphane, who dropped to a slide on his knees, backbending under the sword swing and the reach of those lightning crackling fingers. Across came Zack's left-hand sword on a low backhand, Nalfane fast stepping to avoid getting tripped up. Across came Zack's right-hand blade just behind it, on the same level but in a wider arc, and Nalfane escaped the brunt of it only by stumbling backward. Zacnaphane let the swords continue around, using the momentum to spin back up onto his feet, rushing forward as he came around. Nalfane's shocking grasp swung down at him, but Zack's sword was faster, slapping hard against the wizard's forehead with enough force to draw a yelp of pain. Back fell Nalfane, forward came Zacnaphane, his twin swords rolling out and under, then doubly stabbing forward as Nalfane tried to run out of the room and retreat. Dulled tips of the blades caught the wizard in the armpits, and Zacnaphane bore forward and up, lifting poor Nalfane into the air, where two running strides by Zacnaphane slammed him into the practice arena's wall. And there Zack held him, scowling. "If you wish to make such boasts of the superiority of priestesses, I have to accept it," Zacnaphane admitted. "But you speak of professions mostly filled by we, the mere males of Menzo Baranzon, and that, when it is just we men, I will not abide. A mere warrior, Nalfane? If I take out your heart and hold it beating before your eyes, will you admit the error of such a claim?"
"Zacnaphane," Nalfane said through a pained grimace,
"will you?"
"I am the elder boy of House Dalwerden," Nalfane managed to growl out.
"And I am a murderer with little to lose," Zack answered. "Will you admit it?"
"I was wrong," Nalfane said, Zacnaphane twisting a blade with each forced word.
Zacnaphane retracted, and Nalfane dropped to the floor. "We support each other against them," Zacnaphane told him, and turned as he spoke to include Deneen. "We men, we lessers, we have enough enemies here in the City of Spiders without battling each other."
Nalfane didn't respond, other than to grab at his pained armpits and stumble aside, rushing out of the room.
"He will probably run to Matron Malice to cry about the treatment," Deneen said, walking over.
Zack scowled at him too.
"He defeated you," the weapon master reminded.
Deneen stopped, eyes hard.
"How did you let that happen? You foolishly chose to attempt an attack instead of backing out of the cloud. You could have easily exhausted his magical abilities, but you got impatient. I have taught you better than that. Did you think to impress me?
I guessed incorrectly, the still-upset Deneen argued.
You shouldn't have guessed at all. He is a wizard.
A mediocre wizard.
Who defeated you?
It is hardly fair to put a melee warrior in an open arena with a caster who can strike at range.
True, Zack said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. What warrior could ever win such a challenge?
That is not... Deneen sputtered.
You are...
I am the weapon master of House Towerden, Zack Nefane finished. It is my duty to keep you alive and prepared for all events. I did that, but you failed here miserably. In a house fight, you would be dead, and I would suffer the wrath of Matron Malice for your impatience and stupidity.
I am a house noble, Deneen growled back. Son of a matron.
An angry one, I see, Zack taunted, and up came his sword suddenly, tapping against the underside of Deneen's chin. The outraged Deneen fell back, then came forward, swords appearing in his hands, a sudden and brutal attack to repay the insult. His left hand blade stabbed ahead and was easily guided wide by Zack's already uplifted sword. That was the feint, however, for Deneen's right hand blade came under and around the hooked swords, a clever move executed with impressive precision, balance, and strength. But Zack Nefane's right hand blade came up horizontally to lift that stabbing blade, and the weapon master's parrying weapon bent over diagonally, so that the lifted sword got pinched between it and the blocking lower sword. Up went Zack Nefane's arms, lifting Deneen's arms and swords up high, lifting Deneen up on his tiptoes. Zack Nefane stepped in close and snapped his head forward, driving his forehead into Deneen's nose. As the younger warrior fell back a step, Zack Nefane rushed forward, still holding arms and swords up high, and let go of his left-hand blade, leaving it still hanging from the trap of swords above. The weapon master stepped his left foot across to the right and ahead, then looped it back behind his opponent, even as his left hand slammed against Deneen's chest, tripping him backward. Deneen didn't resist, disengaging his swords from Zack Nefane's, landing easily and smoothly, and rolled perfectly over into a crouch, weapons ready for Zack's advance. But Zack Nefane wasn't there. The weapon master's sword clanged down from on high, sent spinning by Deneen's disengage, since Zack had let it go. Only when it landed, the sharp sound a signal, did Deneen lower his blades. He knew. Of course he knew. Zack Nefane had mirrored his movement and was behind him, and that remaining sword whacked the young Dowarden hard on the back of his head.
Do better, Zack Nefane whispered in Deneen's ear,
and he left his defeated opponent there, crouched in pain.
And put these swords away and tidy up the room, Zack Nefane continued as he walked away, tossing his remaining practice weapon to the floor.
You embarrass me, Deneen called after him in a threatening tone.
You embarrass yourself, Zack answered. I am just a mirror. The ugliness of your weaknesses are yours alone.
A great pity that would be, Breeza dared to somberly reply, and she felt the cold glare of Matron Malice as soon as she had uttered the sentence. She thought herself foolish, dangerously so, and felt suddenly vulnerable.
Pity?
The sacrifice, Breeza stammered. She understood that she should have let it go and allowed her mother to vent her fears without giving them any credence at all. Malice had only mentioned the possibility of her child, Zack Nefane's child, being a boy in her remark that it could not happen, that Loth would not let it happen.
But it will not happen, Malice said again, biting short every word. The Spider Queen would not allow it to happen.
Of course, Matron, it cannot be.
Then why did you cast your voice with such lament?
Because I wish it could be, Breeza blurted, hardly thinking it through. She was just trying to say something, anything, to calm her very pregnant mother.
You wish? Malice retorted, her eyes flashing with anger. What priestess would wish for a mere boy?
Breeza paused then, unsure.
Zack Nefane's boy, she decided.
Zack Nefane is a mere man, true, but he has brought great advantage to House Towerden, and what might—
Malice fell back in her seat and gave a hearty laugh, and Breeza exhaled. Great advantage and great pleasure, the matron agreed. Yes, daughter. Any child of Zack Nefane, boy or girl, could be a boon to House Towerden. But it cannot be any child, can it?
Most of all, we must hold strong in the favor of the Spider Queen, particularly now as I ask of her this great surge of divine power with which to punish Matron Jinifei for her heresy.
We know what is necessary to achieve that, Malice continued, or what would be necessary if this child of Zacnaphane was of the lesser gender. What are we to do? I have already birthed two boys, and both remain alive. The laws of Lolth cannot be questioned.
Breeza nodded and kept her head bent, her gaze to the floor. She left her mother soon after, marveling at Malice's leadership. Matron Malice hadn't asked her to do anything, yet she understood exactly what her mother wished, and Breeza had an idea of how she might grant that wish. She found her brother on the front balcony of House de Worden, overlooking the city, high up from the floor. House de Worden was built into the western wall of the cavern that held Menzo Berenzon. This balcony and the one for the house chapel, both affording grand views of the magically lit city, stalactites and stalagmites dancing in the colored flames of fairy fire, the giant time clock pillar of Narbondale glowing softly in the distance. These balconies were also the only way to get into the house's second floor, affording a measure of protection against the mundane shock troops used by most drow houses who could not levitate. Even though he had the hood of his puafwi pulled up over his head, Breeza noted her brother's dour expression as she neared. The set of his jaw gave it away as he stood leaning on the rail, staring out over the city. She noted, too, when he turned to look at her, that he had his head wrapped in a bandage.
"Nalfane did that to you?" she asked, with both surprise and more than a little bit of mocking in her tone.
"Zacnaphane."
"I thought you were sparring Nalfane this day in preparation."
"The weapon master had a few lessons to offer us both after that match," Deneen said, practically spitting the words.
"Yes, I've noticed his foul mood of late," Breeza said, taking a spot at the balcony beside him and turning her gaze to the city. "It is expected, of course."
"Why?" "Zacnaphane loves the battles. He lives for them. And this will be the greatest challenge yet by far. You think he is afraid?"
"Afraid?" Breeza echoed with a snort.
"Of what? Of defeat? Of dying? I think Zacnaphane would welcome his own death, so great is his self-loathing."
That drew a curious stare from Deneen, and he silently mouthed,
"Self-loathing?"
Breeza hid her smile. Like her brother, she knew that, if anything, Zacnaphane was too in love with himself, too haughty, and believed himself somehow above the edicts of the priestesses who served the Spider Queen. That truth didn't serve her now, however.
"His mood might be based on fear," Breeza added, "but not for himself or for House de Worden. We will win, and he knows it. But there is another involved, one whose future is far less certain."
Deneen's expression grew more puzzled still, and Breeza resisted the urge to reach out and slug her slow-witted brother. How Deneen had ever survived so long in Menzo Berenzon, she would never know, for she didn't consider him clever enough in the webs of drow culture.
"You may have noticed that Matron Malice has grown of late," she said dryly.
"Yes, with Zacnaphane's child, it is whispered, so?"
"It is his, this time for sure.
And the rumors speak of Virna as his as well. Perhaps he has others scattered about the city. He was coveted by many for breeding in the distant past, so I have heard."
"This one is different to him and likely to Matron Malice. This one is surely of his loins, and will bring immediate aid to House de Worden in the very act of being born, and this one is very possibly in immediate mortal peril."
"Because of a spell?"
"Shh," Breeza scolded. "Lower your voice. That is known to the nobles of House de Worden alone."
"But no, not because of that.
Think, brother. You more than I should understand."
"Third son," Deneen said after a moment of pause.
And both his voice and expression showed that he hadn't thought of that before.
"And so Zacnaphane is in a foul mood, and so is Matron Malice, I warn. She will not dare disobey the edicts of the Spider Queen, of course, and particularly not now, when she is asking Lolth for so much in the coming battle. But a male child of Zacnaphane would be grand indeed, in her estimation, a most worthy addition to the de Worden ranks."
"She would value a girl more," Deneen argued.
"Of course she would."
"If it is a girl, then there is no issue. But Matron Malice is coming to believe that it is a son she carries," said Breeza,
Still, I think you are wrong there, brother. In this case, given the sire, I think the notion of a boy truly intrigues Matron Malice. Another fighter of Zacnaphane's caliber? She could enrich the family simply by renting him out to other matrons once he becomes a man.
She could do that with Zacnaphane now, Deneen said, seeming quite annoyed. And you misread her, I am sure.
Take care how you speak to a high priestess, she warned.
That is exactly my point, Deneen replied. No matter how great this son might be, he will never be as great as...
as Breeza.
But a girl? A daughter of Zacnaphane?
Like Virna? Breeza retorted, chortling.
Neither you nor I are children of Zacnaphane.
And yet I remain far superior to Virna in every measurable way. Far superior, and that will not change. Matron Malice has no love for Zacnaphane. It is simply family business. I fear not at all the possibility that Matron Malice will have another girl, another daughter of Zacnaphane. I remain the High Priestess of House de Werden and next in line to the title of Matron. By the time a new child could possibly grow strong enough to challenge me, Matron Malice will likely already be dead, or will have sealed the line of ascension. But a boy, Deneen, a son of Zacnaphane, that could shake the very foundation of House Noble ranking among the men of Dermon and Eshesbirnon. Her use of the formal and ancient name of House de Werden focused Deneen's thoughts more clearly.
But you just said that Malice would not go against the edicts of the Spider Queen, surely in these critical times.
Malice? Breeza said quietly, threateningly.
Matron Malice, the flummoxed warrior corrected.
Certainly not, Breeza said. But neither would Matron Malice be displeased if one of her other sons found the misfortune to fall in the battle with Devere.
Unlikely.
But not impossible, said Breeza, and she turned and walked away, confident her words had resonated.